Well, it's been our privilege for many years to have Dr. Joe Bryant with us and his wife Priscilla. It's always a blessing to have fellowship with him, but I always look forward to hearing him take the Word of God and show us something. And sometimes passages we've seen many times, and yet there's something fresh that comes. We're praying this week that God will give him the messages that we need to hear, that we can hear from heaven, and the Lord can point us in the right direction, because we all need direction from God. And if we'll follow his direction, we know we'll be in his will. And Brother Bryant's been such an influence on my own personal life, and he's made an impact, I think, on our church in the many years that he's been coming. And I think our church is not only privileged, but we are honored to have this man of God be back with us again. So, Brother Joe, you come and give us what God's put on your heart today.
Well, let's see. How many of you are here this morning? Good. I'm glad you're here. I'm grateful for this good day that God's given us and for the privilege of assembling together. Around the world, there's places that do not have this privilege. And God has blessed us, allowed us to be born in America, even though it's not what it should be, and saints will be getting worse every day. We're grateful that our hope is not in a political system. Our hope is in a person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been asking God for directions that I might be of help. That's my goal. That's my prayer. And so I invite your attention this morning to the book of Psalms. I'm looking this morning in the book of Psalms and Psalm 73. In Lamentations 3:40, the Bible said, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. That's revival. Amen?
Amen.
That's revival. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. In the book of Psalm 73, I'm going to read this psalm. I'll center my attention on one verse. But let's read this psalm. If you'll follow me, please. Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet was almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Foolishness when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should have offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for thee to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I am grateful today for the word of God. In this psalm, we find the psalmist, or Asaph, talking about the matter of the wicked and how they seem to prosper. And he said, I basically didn't understand it until I went into the sanctuary. He speaks of the fact that his foot almost slipped. He talks of the conditions of that day. And he closes a psalm with this verse that I'll preach on. But it is good. It is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And so let me preach from that verse this morning. And would you pray that God would speak to your heart? Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for the Bible, God's holy word. I thank you, dear Lord, for the Spirit of God that indwells each of our heart. I pray today that there might be liberty. You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so I pray, giving myself to thee the best I know how, I pray that your power might rest upon me and that you might speak your words through my lips. Dear Lord, I pray that you might bring conviction to our heart. Help us to be still and know that our God. Dear Lord, we realize that this church and these families have gone through a great time of sorrow and loss. But we're thankful that you gave us the scriptures to tell us about a time like this. And you gave your son that we might be prepared for it. And you gave us the Spirit of God to comfort in our loss. So I pray that you bless the Stringer family. And Lord, encourage their heart and others that are in sorrow today. Have your will and way. Bless every place where the gospel is preached, and I pray you'll get maximum glory for yourself. It's in Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. I'm interested in that thought when the psalmist said, it is good for us to draw near to God. I want to say to you this morning, if you're not as close to God right now as you once were, you understand that it wasn't God that moved. You understand that, and you say, well, that's such a simple, if you don't like it, talk to my boss about it. I'm saying it is good. James said in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. There must be a beginning place, a determination, when you recognize your need of getting closer to God. And can I tell you, that's what revival's about. The songwriter said, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. It is good for us to draw nigh to God. And by the way, the closer you get to God, the closer you want to be. And it's not just in a time of sorrow that we must draw nigh to God. He is our strength. He is our help. He is our source of encouragement. But I tell you, in our daily walk, in our daily activities, it's good for us to draw nigh to God, to get closer to the Lord. There must be a beginning place, and when that begins, there'll always be a battling place, but you never get closer to God without being blessed by God. When he manifests himself to us. Now, I'm going to give you several little things, just simple little thoughts about drawing near to God from this text. Now, notice with me, there is a precept, there's something to do. He said, it is good for me to draw near to God, or to draw nigh to God. It's good for me to draw near to God. There's a precept. There's something to do. If you do not exercise, if you do not respond, you'll stay right where you are. Now, I know this. I know that the Lord Jesus, our personal Savior, indwells our heart. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We know that. But in fellowship, our fellowship by our obedience. And so there's a precept. There's something to do. Draw near to God. But there's a promise. There's something that God will do. In one sense, we are always near God. He's always near us. But in another sense, because he is holy and we are by nature sinful, we are estranged from God. And could I say to you,
That's why Paul said, when I do good, evil is present with me. And the songwriter again said, I'm prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I'm saying, recognize it's a wonderful thing. The wonderful thing is that God invites us to draw near. God urges us to draw near. God pleads with us to draw near to Him. Now, it's reiterated, I can't even say the word, reiterated all through the Bible. That's what James is saying, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto thee. How can a sinful man or woman draw near to a holy God? There's three requirements. Number one, we must draw near or come to Him by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we must come near in faith. But then we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our enabler. Then we come with sincerity. We come sincerely in our heart, drawing near to the Lord. Now, can I say, the important thing is to come. The important thing is to remove. All through the scriptures, verse after verse, and plea after plea is made, and it requires response on your part. God, are you listening to me? God has nothing for sale, but He has much to give. And He gives when we respond, draw near to Him. It's good for me to draw near to God. It requires response on my behalf. I come to Him. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. In the book of Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is an invitation, a plea, a urging to come near to God. Now, notice this. I'm going somewhere, I think. We come to Him. It's important that the important thing is to come, to draw near. And so God promises that He will meet with us and He will bless us when we draw near to Him. It is a definite, specific, and continual command for us to draw near to God. Now then, let me give you these 4, 5, 6, maybe 7. No more than 7. We'll be here to 7. Let me give you these little thoughts, and I'll be very brief, but let me make the application. Number one, if we're going to draw near to God, we must come just as we are. We must come just like we are. A lot of times we imply or we convey the idea that a person's kind of got to get things together before they come to God. No, no, no. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I come just like I am. I come, listen, if I was lost, I come just as I am. I can't save myself. I can't help myself. I came, I asked, and He gave me everlasting life. It was my response to His plea in my life. But now, as a saved person, we get out of fellowship with the Lord. What breaks fellowship? Sin. Whose sin? Yours. Mine. We break fellowship with God because He invites us to come near. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, that's our response. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How about it? We're going to draw near to God. We come just like we are. It's not until I get things straightened out. It's not till the situation changes. No, I come just like I am. If I'm a backslider, I come in my backslidden condition. If I'm a liar, I come in my lying condition. If I'm immoral, I come in my immoral condition. If I come just like I am, He said, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. It requires response. But we come just like we are. John 6:37, the Bible said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We come to the Lord just like, no ifs and buts about it. Every open door into which the needy soul may enter, we draw near with your need and come to the Lord just like you are. Did I say to you today, I haven't had too many people making a dead run to the altar and saying, I've just been worldly. But many Christians are worldly. Hello. Are y'all in the building? I want to say, in radio land, are you tuned in? Understand today, if I'm going to get help this week, I must draw near to God. I come to Him. I cannot help you, but He can. So I come just like I am. I draw near to God. I come to Him just like I am. Now, if you're here unsaved, you come as a sinner, lost and undone. But if you're here saved and you're not in fellowship with the Lord, you come just like you are. He invites you to come. It is good. He said, now it's good. It's profitable. It is good for me. Not, by the way, speaking for himself, good for me to draw near to God. Notice again, he said, I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Hey, I'm saying to you, if you're going to glorify God by your actions, draw near to God. You come to him just like you are. Remember, if we're going to draw near to God, then we draw near to God confessing our sins, and he will forgive you. Well, you said that's not deep. Didn't mean it to be deep. I'm saying if I'll draw near to God confessing my sins, he will forgive. Do you know of any sin that God does not forgive? The only sin that God does not forgive is a sin of unbelief. And you understand today, if I come just like I am, I'm confessing my sin. I'm so glad that I don't have to go down to a little booth and whisper through a knot hole to a man that's dressed up like mother and they call him father. Oh no, I'm glad I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I might obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. But I come doing what? Confessing my sin. I'm confessing my sin. Now, it's not coming to the altar and said, Lord, if I've sinned, please forgive me. No, no, you know you've sinned tonight. And by the way, you know today if you're saved. There's only two that does know. That's God and you. And by the way, God's not confused about it. God knows exactly whether you're saved or you're lost. And God knows whether you're, as a saved person, he knows whether you're either in his will or out of his will. He knows whether, as a Christian, he knows whether you're either spiritual or carnal. And so I come just like I am. I'm doing what? I'm coming and I'm acknowledging my sin. Now, how do I do that? I come just like I am, and then I come confessing my sin, and God will forgive. If you are conscious of sin, or of guilt, or of some specific way in which you've sinned against the Lord, you come to the Lord just like you are, and you come confessing your sin, you can be forgiven and be cleansed. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad that I don't have to carry the baggage of unconfessed sin in my life. I can come and confess my sin and be cleansed from my sin. Aren't you glad that God said, John speaking in John 1:29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad that he said in Hebrews 10 that he remembered my sin against me no more forever. Somebody said, does God forget? No, you can't remember something that's not there. And so if you'll act upon the gracious promise of the Lord, he'll forgive you. The confession must be made to God. Hello? Confession must be made to God. It must be particular and not general. The Lord promises to forgive and to cleanse us, and he does that immediately. In Proverbs 28:13, the Bible said, whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. But he said, whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. I'm wondering today if that's the reason why we're not prospering in our individual lives, in our churches collectively. We've gotten to the place where we try to negotiate with sin and make excuses for sin rather than confess them and forsake them. And so what a gracious word for those who are burdened with sin. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't have any sin. Well, let's see how you do it. James 4:17, the Bible said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him that is sin. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hello? He said, the thought of foolishness is sin. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got accustomed to identifying sin with some other label rather than to acknowledge it before God. I've sinned against God. Do you know that gospel is sin and lying is sin? and speaking evil is sin, and unforgiveness is sin, and unfaithfulness is sin. Hello, anybody home? I'm saying, here we are. What a relief to know that because we have confessed our sins to the Lord and forsaken it, that we have mercy. Praise God for the mercy He extends to us.
Let us draw, it's good for us to draw near to Him. We do it confessing our sin. And then number three, could I say this? When guilt's denied, then grace is discarded. When guilt is not, and by the way, everybody said, well, you know, don't worry about me, I'm all right. No. I'm afraid that we've gotten to the place that we've convinced ourselves that we're all right, and therefore the Spirit of God is grieved, and He can't work in our midst because of He's so grieved. Amen. And therefore we just have meetings instead of having invites. And so number three, we draw near to God with your trouble, and He will help you. Psalm 50, please. In Psalm 50, notice with me Psalm 50, and I'm looking at Psalm 50, and I'm considering verse number 15. And He said, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt do what? Glorify me. What are we talking about? The matter of God being glorified in through our lives. So how are you going to do that? He said in verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What's God going to do? God said, if you call upon me, I will deliver you, and ye will glorify me. Now understand this. Here, there's folks in this building are so many needs. There's trouble represented in all of our lives. Someone said our needs are just like our faces. They're all different. But I'm reminded that God sees all of our needs. And so we draw near to Him with our trouble, and He will have. What kind of trouble are you in today? You said, I've never been where I am today. By the way, God knows about that. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmity. So I draw near. If you are in trouble, do not despair. Turn to the Lord Himself and act upon His gracious promise. So it is good for me to draw near. It's good for me to draw near to the Lord. It's good for me to draw near to God. He said, I put my trust. And by the way, I come trusting the Lord by faith to meet my needs and give me help in my trouble. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You understand that trouble is in this world. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. And so I'm reminded that there's many people in trouble. And I'm reminded that the Lord Himself will act upon His gracious promise. He said, if you'll draw near and call upon me, you're the trouble, and I will help you. Now notice with me again. This is number four. I can draw near to God with my problem, and He will undertake for me. In Psalm 55:22, the Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so I'm doing what? In this day with a specific desire and purpose in my heart, I'm determined that I am going to draw near to God. Why? He said, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. By the way, so I draw near to Him with my problems, and He will undertake them. I was coming out of Putnam City, Kentucky, turned on Highway 27 south. I came to the stoplight, and I noticed a sheriff's car pulled up to that light, and another sheriff's car behind me. And before my light turned green, the first sheriff's car pulled in front of me. And when the light turned green, I proceeded, and the second sheriff's car pulled in behind me. But then the first sheriff's car had pulled off the side and pulled in behind me. I went down the hill and turned into the motel. And so when I turned into the motel, they turned into the motel. That bothered me a little bit. And then they turned on the light. I felt compelled of the Lord to stop. I did not know whether to get out or to sit in the car. So I said, self, I think I'll just sit. So I just sat there. And it seemed like eternity. And after a while, one of the deputies got out and come and stood by my door and said this. Never heard this before from a patrolman, a sheriff. He said, sorry to bother you, buddy. We thought you was somebody else. I said,
I said, praise God, I am what I am, and I am who I am by the grace of God. But I'll remind you that there's no mistaking that identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your down sitting, your uprising, but notice this. He knows your faults afar off. He knows what makes you tick. He knows where you are today. You can put on a good front. You might impress the pastor. You might impress your friend, even your family. But God sees the heart. So it is good for me to draw near to God with my trouble. I draw near to Him with my problem, and He'll undertake for me. He relates to my problem. He's concerned about my problem. He cares about my conduct. He's concerned about my conflicts. He knows my calling, and He's concerned about my crowning. But I'm saying, I'm drawing near to Him. I'm saying to you, I bring the matter to Him. There's nothing too big for God. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but He's small enough to live in my heart and in your heart. And I say to you that there's nothing too hard for the problems that we face in. Walk number five, let me say this. We draw near to God, acknowledging our weakness, and He will strengthen us. When I can't eat, there's never been an assignment that God gave that He did not give the enablement to do it. I see this. Perhaps you've been greatly tempted, and as a result of the pressures upon your life, you've fainted or fallen along the way. I remind you that I draw near to God, acknowledging my weakness, and He will strengthen thee. I'm reminded of the passage in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm saying, thank God. He said, I'll help you in your troubles. And so the way of escape is to draw nigh to the Lord, confess your weakness, your inability, and recognize Him. He is able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask for. Amen. Now, notice with me again. Two of the little faults. I'll stop. Notice this. It's good for me to draw near to God. I draw near to Him. I draw near to God. Seeking guidance, and He will lead me. I don't know the way in or the way out, brother. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, He said, thou shalt hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in. And you turn to the left. You understand today that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy way. There's nothing we need more frequently than guidance. Nothing we need more frequently. And so remember, God is always more ready to guide us than we are willing to be guided. So I see this. Draw nigh to God seeking guidance, and He will lead. It is good for us. It's good for you. It's good for me. To do what? To draw near to God. The son said, I put my trust in God, that I may declare all thy works, that I might trust in God, that I might declare all thy works, what I did, where it started. When I determined by the grace of God, I will draw near to God. I will get closer to God. I'm determined that I'm not going to go away unblessed. I don't get closer to the last day. Draw near to God. He said, it's good for me to draw near to God. Draw near to God now. Not tonight. Not next week. Draw near to God now. If I was a sinner apart from Christ, I would come as a sinner for salvation. I would come to Him from now. The Bible said, behold, there's a day of salvation. And Isaac said, I come now. You understand that, you remember that God's always more ready to guide than we are to be guided. So I come to Him just as I am. I come as a sinner for salvation. Or perhaps you might need to come in one of the ways that I mentioned.
as a saint needs to come. When a Christian rises from his knees, he should be committed to the will of God. I'm not my own. I belong to God. He should be confident in the power of God. He should be concerned for the glory of God. And can I say this? Oh, how we need a deeper sense of sin. A deeper trust in the Lord Jesus. And a deeper communion with God. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe this. I believe if we have more people that are interested in a closer walk with God, drawing near to God, we'd have more sinners desiring what we have. It is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in you. I've been trusting. And as I do that, I'll declare all the mighty works of God. Where are you today? You're saved. Thank God you're saved. But if you're not close to God today, if you don't sense His presence and know His power, then I exhort you today. I beg you in Jesus' name, I plead with you to determine by the grace of God that you will draw nigh to God. Give all night to do. Raise your hand, you sinners. Give all night. Purify your hearts, you devil. Give all night to God. Give all night. I believe he stands with arms outstretched, saying, come. But the response of yours, he doesn't take the cork out and pour it in. He gives you an invitation. Give all night to him. Give all night to God. That was a simple prayer. Would you bow? Our eyes are closed. I asked the question this morning, two particular. One, how many in the building to say, preacher, I know Christ as my Savior. Please respond. If you know Christ, you will say, you die, lift your hand. Preacher, I know I'm saved. If I die, I know I'm good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask you that lifted your hand. Is there somebody in this building today who said, preacher, oh, deep down in my heart, there's a desire to be closer to God. God has spoken to me, but I see your hands today across the building. God bless your heart. Oh, I need thee. Yes, I need thee every hour. I need that closer walk with God. Anybody else is a believer? Then God spoke to me. I wonder today if you're here and you're unsaved and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not.